From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, why Game Week 29 will have 11 games, why Game Week 31 will only have 4. It's all coming up in the one Fantasy podcast you can't afford to miss. Hello, Fantasy Boss. Today's Big Brains of Fantasy panel is Sam Bonfield of the FPL family. Hello, Sam.
Hi, James.
Alongside Sam, journalist and author Tom Williams.
Hello, James.
Hello to you, Tom. And the co-founder of Opta UK, Duncan Alexander, is with us.
Hi, James.
All right. Sam Bonfield back in the top 3,000 worldwide. Congratulations.
On the slow climb again.
All right. Tom, you're, about 44K?
44K, yeah, happy with that. Okay. Steady progress.
And Duncan Alexander, 4 points below me as of this weekend.
What?
That's all anybody wants to know.
Oh. I've been above you all season. You've slowly ground me down, yeah. Not just in FPL. Yeah,
not just in FPL, because this was a bit of a weird week, wasn't it, Game Week 28? The average points won by fantasy managers worldwide was only 26, which is by far the lowest. It's actually 10 points lower than the previous lowest that we'd had a couple of times during this season. Couple of reasons for that. Liverpool losing, I don't remember that in the small print, and Jamie Vardy coming out of the Norwich game.
Mm. Same with Danny Ings too, right?
And Danny Ings, yeah.
I brought Vardy back in place of Aguero because obviously City were in the League Cup final and shouldn't have bothered.
Well, it does underline the importance of checking team news because the word about it was out before Friday's deadline.
It? Yeah, oh, right. Yeah.
I actually sold him.
The
reason
I
went past Duncan is I sold him and brought in Diogo Jota about half an hour before the deadline.
I did similar, but I brought in Jimenez.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Which, you know, that works.
We were
as
both
well.
On the same wavelength there, James.
Nice. As for Liverpool, over 2 million managers captaining Salah for a 4-point return. Second game week in a row that's happened. Do we stand by our Liverpool assets, Tom?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, looking at their fixture this weekend, home to Bournemouth, you would expect them to bounce back without too many problems. I mean, it does sometimes happen that teams that are streaking clear at the top of the table have slumps, and every time you think this is the perfect fixture them to get out of it, they carry on slumping. But I think, given Liverpool's home form, I'd be wary about getting shot of all your Liverpool assets.
At least if you captained Sally, you got 4 points. I captained Trent and got 2. So.
Ooh. And what about Vardy? Is it time now if you hadn't previously, or do you think Leicester's fixtures look so attractive and with their win midweek?
He's gone over 10 hours without scoring in the Premier League, so for me the party is officially finished and shut down.
Okay.
I'm convinced the second I bomb him out, which will probably be this game week, he's going to score a hat-trick.
Could you let us know? Will it definitely be this?
I think it probably will be, yeah.
Right.
So, there you know.
There you go.
There you go, even.
Excellent. Any other lessons from Game Week 28?
Yeah, it was kind of the return for some of the old kind of faithful of FPL players like Jimenez and obviously Alonso, the ones that we used to love in seasons gone by all kind of stood up this week. And the ones that we've relied on all this season, Danny Ings, Jamie Vardy, the Liverpool boys, nothing.
Right. Apart from Calvert-Lewin, he still, with a little bit of help from De Gea, he still managed to return. All right. Well, let's move on then to Game Week 29, which excitingly is a double game week for Arsenal and Man City. This news breaking late. Two fixtures for both those clubs. We'll be looking at the best approach for those games and other key Game Week 29 matches. Okay, double Game Week 29. A double game week for Man City and Arsenal. Tom, what's the best approach? First of all, Man City, you planning to pack your team with Pep's players?
Probably not. And I think the reason for that is, on the one hand, the high chances of Pep Guardiola rotating his team, but also the fact that an awful lot of City players aren't in decent form. Ordinarily, a Man City double game week in the Guardiola era, you would just flood your team with City forwards. But the only attacking player who is in any kind of form at the moment is Kevin De Bruyne, who is a doubt for the United game on Sunday with a shoulder injury. May come back for Arsenal in midweek, but you won't get the benefit of the double game week.
So how seriously are you taking that injury threat? You think he definitely won't play in the derby this weekend?
I mean, it sounds like he's a he's a doubt for that. So right. I think I will probably avoid captaining him as
and,
a consequence.
And also from City's point of view, what's the point of risking him? They don't have too much to gain apart from cross-town, you know, bragging rights.
Well, exactly. And plus they've got the second leg of that Champions League tie against Real Madrid just around the corner. Although I suspect the game that they'll really rest players for with that in mind will be next weekend's Burnley game.
Mm.
But to look at the other City assets that people would ordinarily consider in this sort of situation, Aguero's last four game weeks, 4-2-2-0. Sterling, who's been out of the team and come back in, but even before his recent absence, his form was really poor. His last four starts, he scored 3 points, 2 points, 3 points, 1 point. Riyad Mahrez has been a handy go-to man for a lot of fantasy managers, but is he guaranteed to start? He got 8 points against Leicester last time out, but didn't play the previous weekend. So I wonder almost, if you are thinking about bringing City players in, whether you might be better off looking at defensive players.
Or a real wild card like Phil Foden, who Pep Guardiola was saying he needs to be ready, he'll play the next game. Now, he didn't say he'll start, but his ownership is incredibly low, just 0.3% right now. He'll cost you 5.1 million. In a double game week, could he be worth a punt?
I think it'd be a risk, because I think the chances of him starting both games are probably quite slim. I think if you're looking at players who are guaranteed to start both games, I mean, Guardiola is so difficult to predict. But again, looking at the defensive players, Edison, Kyle Walker, both got three clean sheets in the last four.
Right.
It's not all that exciting to go for Man City defensive players, but it might actually make more sense given how much we know Guardiola likes to mix his team up.
One option, someone who's been good the last few weeks, is Rodri as well. He looks more of a...
He got
10 against West Ham. I think he's looking more of a threat set pieces as well, so...
Duncan, you've got Bruno Fernandes,
yeah,
who represents now such a threat for Man United.
Mm.
Would you advise people to get him in for this week?
Yeah, I would actually. I think United are going to be really up for this game. They're on a bit of a mini roll. City, as we've discussed, you know, they don't need to win it. Obviously, they'd like to win it. Fernandes has looked really good. I mean, everything goes through him. You could see, you know, it's a derby game. You can see a penalty. He'll take that. You can see free kicks flying in. You can see him taking those. He's been my saviour, really. So,
I mean, Laporte. To play against him for Man City, that Man City defence does not look watertight when Laporte's not there. So I think Fernandes has still got great potential in this game.
Sam, what are you doing about Man City assets for this double game week?
Nothing, right, actually, because I don't trust the rotation risk. I think that with the two games coming so close on Sunday and then again on Wednesday, there's going to be rotation between Aguero and Jesus. There's going to be rotation in that midfield. The defence, I don't think, looks solid enough without Laporte being there. I've got KDB. I'll play him because I think he'll probably be all right for the Wednesday game. And if he gets the double game week, then great. But I think for me, the double game week's more about Arsenal than it is about City.
So Arsenal have West Ham at home this weekend and then the trip to the Etihad midweek. Which Arsenal assets should we be focusing on?
I think big money wise, Aubameyang. I think if you're looking for some cheaper options, Martinelli, Eddie Nketiah are both worth a shout.
Right. Pepe has racked up 22 points in his last two game week appearances, one goal and three assists.
Yeah, another good. He's quite expensive, but another good option. I mean, I think Arsenal seem to be improving week on week. They still don't look watertight at the back, but going forward, yeah, particularly with West Ham at home.
Yeah, another Arsenal player who might be worth looking at is Bukayo Saka, who's been one of their most impressive performers this season. He's listed as a midfielder, despite the fact he plays in defence. So if Arsenal keep a clean sheet against West Ham, you won't get any clean sheet points. Mm. But conversely, if they then get absolutely stuffed by City, he won't lose any points for conceding goals. It's only 4.6 million, so he's cheap as chips.
And
he plays basically every week, and he's really good.
He's had an assist in the last three home fixtures.
His heat maps are really attacking, so he barely spends a lot of time in defence for Arsenal. He's always over the halfway line.
So at least for the West Ham game, he could be a really productive player to have. Excellent. The one thing to say about all this is that while Arsenal and Man City do have a double game week this time around, they will neither of them be featuring in game week 31, as we'll be discussing shortly when we look at the ravaged fixture list that will be greeting us in a fortnight's time. So the more players you bring in from those two teams this time around, the more work you'll have to do to sort your team out for game week 31, but much more of our long-term strategy for that very, very shortly. Also worth an eye on this weekend, Chelsea-Everton, Sam.
Yeah, really interesting game and one that I'm dreading, to be honest, because I don't own any FPL players from either side. And I
Why don't you get some?
Well, because there's been a double game week announced, so now I've got to focus on Arsenal. But I think the way that those two sides are playing, there are a couple of really good assets. Obviously, there's Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who has just been on the most ridiculous run since Ancelotti took over at Everton. And if we look at him just in game week 28 alone, he had four shots in the box. That wasn't beaten by any other forward or midfielder in the whole game across that game week. And has got returns in five of his last six appearances in the Premier League for Everton. So, you know, doing incredibly well. Same with Richarlison, returns in two of the last three. So the pair of them together looking really great.
In terms of XG, or at least how much you expect that run to continue, last weekend's goal, for example, while opportunistic, was a lot of it due to David De Gea's insouciant goal kick. Do you expect Calvert-Lewin's returns to remain this consistent?
Yeah, I do. The underlying numbers are good for Everton. Since Ancelotti took over, they've been basically the third most creative team behind Liverpool and City. And it doesn't, you know, they're on the longest scoring run in the Premier League currently. It doesn't look like that's going to come to an end anytime soon. And Chelsea's defence is not super tight. So I could see them profiting at Stamford Bridge.
The other player who might be catching your eye, Sam, is...
Alonso. Mm. I feel like we're going back in time a bit talking about Alonso. So obviously, you know, hadn't really been consistently getting a start in the Chelsea team. Comes back in game week 27, gets 8 points, plays again in game week 28, gets 16 points, was top for penalty area touches, shots in the box in that game. His position maps are ridiculous. He's not really playing in defence. He is kind of unleashed down that wing. And is back doing the things that we all used to love from Alonso back in the previous seasons gone by.
So did we miss it or is it going to continue?
No, I think it's going to continue. Lampard's comments on him were really interesting, talking about how actually what Alonso does is he enables them to play this three-man central defence, which has been better and working better for Chelsea in terms of their defensive qualities in the last couple of game weeks. So, you know, Chelsea haven't been that solid defensively for a little while now, but the last couple of weeks with Alonso back in the team, the way that means the rest of the side is structured seems to be working for Lampard. So I think Alonso keeps playing.
OK, they have conceded on both their last two Premier League matches, but he has got, in those two fixtures, 24 points across the pair of them. Tom, are you tempted at all?
Yeah, I watched that Chelsea game at Bournemouth last week, and he was by far their most influential attacking player. We know from the Chelsea title-winning season under Conte what a dangerous footballer he can be and what an asset he can be in fantasy football. That my one concern with Alonso is that it's clear that Lampard doesn't really trust him. I mean, prior to the two most recent game weeks, he'd gone the best part of 2 months without even kicking a football in the Premier League, and I wouldn't be surprised if he abruptly disappeared again. But certainly, as Sam says, when he's in the team and looking at the quite kind run of fixtures Chelsea have got, if you can guarantee he's going to play, then yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
And when they don't really have any attacking, you know, Abraham is obviously out injured at the moment. We don't know yet whether he's going to be available for the weekend, so we'll have to keep an eye on press conferences for that. But, you know, Lampard's comments about how we don't have, you know, the gusto that we used to have attacking-wise right now,
right,
to have Alonso in the team who can provide that, I think he's going to play, particularly while Abraham's out.
Yeah, particularly after three goals in two games.
Exactly.
I'd be curious to see him removed from the team. Well, we mentioned the head-scratching predicament that awaits fantasy managers in game week 31, only a fortnight away, which is going to require some very clever preparation. We'll get into the details of that in the long view after this. Game week 31, huge news, Duncan. Of the 10 originally scheduled fixtures, this week's FA Cup fifth round games mean that only four matches will go ahead in that game week. Spurs-West Ham, Burnley-Watford, Liverpool-Crystal Palace and Wolves-Bournemouth. So you've got 12 teams who are not going to be in action in game week 31. How are we going to sort our teams out for that? The immediate reaction I had looking at this was play my free hit for game week 31, bring in a team for 1 week only, and that will just magically evaporate and revert to my usual one straight afterwards. However, clever fantasy folks say that's not the way, eh, Sam?
Yeah, so that was my original strategy too. But actually, if you think back to last season, the managers that made the best use of their free hit were the ones that used them in the double game week. So more of an aggressive free hit, if you like. So playing it at a time where you can fill your team with double game weekers who you might not necessarily want to keep afterwards, but they've got two games to prove their worth.
Right.
Whereas if you play it in a blank game week, you've got, as you've already mentioned, you've only got eight teams to choose from. They're going to have less of an impact because everyone's going to already be on those players if you're not free hitting, because you're going to be working towards a team full of them. And their ability to overachieve is limited because they've only got one game week. So if you can get 11 players out, and, you know, we've still got a few game weeks to go to get there and a few free transfers to go to get
there. Yeah, you've got three, including this week, you've got three game weeks.
So
basically,
we've got plenty of time to kind of make sure that we fill our teams with, you know, Wolves and Liverpool and Spurs and West Ham.
Burnley as well.
And Burnley, who are on great form. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting Nick Pope as a keeper right now. It seems like it's an achievable game. As soon as that Liverpool Chelsea game happened and Liverpool went out the cup, it felt like 31 was achievable without a chip.
Okay. And where would you then be thinking to use those chips further down the line?
So there's likely to be a quite big double game week in game week 37 with lots of teams playing twice.
Right.
There should be a smaller one around game week 34 as well.
34 is going to be a bit mixed with some teams missing out altogether, is that
right? Some should blank, some will have singles and some will have doubles. So that one's a bit messy, but it might suit for bench boosting purposes or if you're still holding it a triple captain purpose. But that final double game week in 37 looks like a really nice opportunity to play a free hit, get everybody playing twice, and have a really nice return.
And statistically, that last week of the season before the final fixtures does tend to throw up quite a lot of goals, quite a lot of kind of mad scorelines. So
everyone wants the golden boot by that point.
Exactly.
So
that's often one of the, at that time of season, that's often one of the few things that's left to play for. So we remember Harry Kane scoring 7 goals in 2 games.
Oh, I remember vividly.
So yeah, I agree. That is a good shout. Because like you, James, I would have been tempted to do it for that one, but
phew, what a good thing Sam pitched in today, eh?
Yeah.
Well, I've still got all my chips, so I'm feeling quite flush, and consequently, I might end up free hitting for game week 31 because I know that when the double game week comes around at the end of the season, I could still use my remaining wild card. So nice. I may well free hit for game week 31.
All right. Guess we'll have to see at the end, Tom. You take the high road, and we'll take the low road, and you're in the top 44,000, so maybe I ought to listen to what you're saying. anyway, all right, super. Sam, though, you're in the top, what was it, 3,000, did we say?
Yeah, 2,800, I think.
Right.
You think.
But you know.
Six,
I think.
What's the highest you've been this season?
736.
What's the highest you've ever been?
736.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was my highest ever. I've actually never been inside the top 5K until this year, and now I seem to be making it stick. So it was a 300-place green arrow last week amongst all the nonsense that was going on with FPL last week. In my mind, I'm kind of thinking, oh, if I can get 300 points every week, 300-point green arrow, I'll win it.
Ever since you started coming on this podcast.
You see, James, you obviously bring me luck.
Exactly.
It's that competition with Jules that's doing it. Yeah. The desire to beat him.
And the fact that everyone wants you to beat him as well. That's an important factor.
All right, well, that's our advice for game week 31. Get building your teams with Liverpool, Wolves, Burnley. Anyway, players from those eight sides. Lovely. Next up, we're going to be looking at your answers to this week's Wednesday tweet, which was, game week 29 is coming up fast. What difficult decisions have you got to make before the deadline? Game week 29 is coming up fast. What difficult decisions have you got to make before the deadline was our Wednesday tweet. The deadline, of course, is 11:30 on Saturday morning, an hour before Liverpool-Bournemouth. Cyrus says, who to add in place of Tammy Abraham? I've got 8 million in the bank. Lucky Cyrus. Yeah, the situation with Tammy, not particularly well defined from Chelsea, but it's an ongoing ankle problem. Is that right?
Yeah, he's been in Barcelona this week, apparently, having it looked at. Obviously missed the FA Cup. So, you know, it's not sounding that positive that he's going to play this weekend. Equally, I think, you know, you've got the two Wolves boys right now in Jota and Jimenez, who are on ridiculous form and play in game week 31.
Yeah.
They seem like an absolute no-brainer in replacement for Abraham.
I mean, Jimenez costs £8 million, so
bingo.
Get your £8 million and there you go.
Yeah.
Get your Jimenez. And I think Jota's even cheaper.
Yeah, save you a little bit.
3, yeah.
Yeah, very nice. Okay, Farouk, Mane and Ings out, Pepe and Aguero in, question mark? What do you think,
Tom? I'm not sure about that. I mean, Mane, Liverpool at home to Bournemouth, as we've discussed, which should be a good fixture for them.
I mean, just to be clear on that, their last five games against Bournemouth, they've beaten the Cherries on each occasion, scoring at least 3 goals in each one. The aggregate score across those 5 games?
17-0.
Mm. Wow.
Well, there you go.
17-0.
There you go. Danny Ings, Southampton at home to Newcastle. So I wouldn't be in any hurry to get rid of Danny Ings. I've got him and I'll be keeping him. Pepe, I can understand the appeal of bringing him in, but then again, that first Arsenal fixture, the double game week, is very attractive. The second one, not so much. And Aguero, is he going to start both games? Is he going to start either game?
Well,
my advice to Farouk would be to stick with what you've got.
Mane and Ings.
I disagree, Tom. Sorry. Oh. But, I mean, Ings has got one goal in his last 6 appearances. It does feel like the Ings bandwagon has sailed. It's that mixed metaphor, but you know what I mean. I got rid of Ings a couple of weeks ago. So I would say to Farouk that if you want to get rid of Ings, I think that's a fair shout.
Right. Well, Farouk, the ball is in your court.
It's a Sam, any of you on that?
Can I go in the middle of the two of them and say...
Half of Ings?
I mean, I think
Dr.
Danny Ings...
Dr. Frankenstein over it.
Obviously, he missed a lot of training last week and then wasn't fit enough to start the game week 28. But, you know, I would expect him to be back in the starting lineup this week. So I think he's still worth holding. I don't agree though with getting Aguero. I just think he won't start both of those games. I'd go with, you know, one of the other cheap assets, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Wolves boys, whoever you fancy. But
for me, this season though, it's been about waiting for strikers way longer than we should have.
Yeah,
with Taimur Pukki, we had that when people held on because, and then with Jamie Vardy, and I feel that one, and Ings is the new example.
Imagine a quite haunting film about the season called Waiting for Vardy or something. Just every week, come on, Jamie, get back to it.
Anyway, right, okay, Faisal says, triple captain Ober or Kevin De Bruyne? Well, given the fitness reports coming out of Man City, if that's your choice, I'd say Aubameyang, no?
Aubameyang, he is up for scoring his 50th goal for Arsenal in only his 75th game if he scores against West Ham, which is a pretty good ratio, and he does seem to be coming into form.
Which got 6 goals in 7.
Yeah, so I would, I mean, I'm thinking of doing that as well. So.
Are you triple captaining?
Yeah.
Really?
Nice.
Pratic says, wild card or free hit? Well, I think neither. That's the message that I took from our Longview chat. I don't know what the state of your team is, Pratic. Maybe you've got all the wrong players, in which case a wild card might be beneficial. But it seems a strange time to free hit.
Yeah. I mean, as we discussed a few weeks ago, I wild carded with my dog and I regret that now because I could deal with it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, not entirely sure how the mechanics of that, but okay. Rodney says, bring in Saka, so we'll be set for the double game week. I'd love Matt Doherty, but can't get him without major disruption to the team. Yeah,
I agree on both points. I'd love to bring in Matt Doherty, but can't really afford him, and I will be bringing in Saka for that double game week.
Will you?
I feel like everyone's bringing in Saka for a hit.
Well, does that mean we can't afford not to have him?
Well, his ownership's still really low, so I don't think that it's kind of like going to massively hurt you if you don't have him. But equally, if he does do well, those managers that have bought him in are going to get huge green arrows as a result of it.
Absolutely. All right.
And he's so cheap, so he's kind of a facilitator and a point scorer all in one.
What's the price tag, Tom?
4.6 million.
And the ownership?
But ownership only 2.7%, so a real differential as well.
Hey, speaking of low ownership players that we're looking to bring in, how about a round of essential differential? Essential differential, looking for players with less than 10% ownership who we think are going to score highly, bigly in fact. Let's see. Ooh, Sam, you are the Snodgrass Whisperer. On your last appearance, you
what a thing to be.
You spoke of Robert Snodgrass, and I think politely we didn't laugh in your face.
Duncan wanted to, didn't you?
It was a cough this night.
But lo and behold, how many points did you get that weekend?
18.
You nailed it.
I nailed it, I had him in my team.
Yeah, you did. So, who have you got for us this time?
Well, Moutinho has got a lot to live up to.
João Moutinho?
Yes, from Wolves. Now, much like Snodgrass, actually, he's had six blanks in a row, so he's not exactly got the form for this. However, the underlying stats for Moutinho have been really, really good. So no midfielder created more chances than he did last week. He supplied four key passes. And actually, if you look across the whole season, he's the fifth for midfielders in terms of chances created. So he's doing all the right things. And at a time where Jota and Jimenez are doing... well, they're absolutely world-class right now.
I mean, they're scoring more goals, aren't they?
Yeah, so he's going to be supplying those goals. You know, he's on set pieces as well. They're in his locker. So I think there's returns for him this week. I'm just gutted because I owned him earlier on in this season. Switched to Traore because it felt like the fashionable thing to do and everyone seemed to be doing it. And now I still wish I had Moutinho.
Right, because Traore looked unstoppable, but he then stopped.
Yeah.
Right.
His shoulder popped out and that was the end of it.
And that's an ongoing concern. He's got a flag on him for this week as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, three dislocated shoulders in like a couple of months. It's not looking great, is it?
It's a lot of arms.
All right, Gian Moutinho, who is owned by 5.1% managers worldwide. The price tag, 5.4 million. And Wolves at home to Brighton this weekend. Tom, who have you got for us?
We're going to go for Jamal Lascelles, Newcastle captain. I brought him in last week and he got a clean sheet in their home game against Burnley. That's now three consecutive clean sheets in home games for Newcastle and for Lascelles, who was out of the team and has now come back in. Only 4.4% ownership, only cost 4.3 million, so he's nice and cheap. And although Newcastle blank in game week 31, they do have a decent looking run of fixtures. So I'll be sticking with him.
Yeah, their clean sheets tend to be at home, though.
They do.
This weekend they're away, albeit to the worst performing home team in the Premier League, Southampton.
Southampton, yes. And then home to Sheffield United the weekend after. So I'm going to keep faith with him for now.
Okay, all right. And how about you, Mr. Alexander?
Well, this might be brought in association with afterthelordmayorshow.com, but Ismaïlé Sarr from Watford, who was
right,
obviously the
star
man.
Slayer.
Yeah.
The Klopp stopper.
The Klopp stopper. He had a really good spell when Nigel Pearson first took over at Watford, then a little quiet spell, but then obviously roared back last weekend. He is basically like a kind of junior Sadio Mane. So right. If you've got rid of Sadio Mane like I did a few weeks ago, Sarr is a midfielder in the game, but he obviously plays a bit further forward than that. He's only owned by 1.7%.
Wow.
And he's 6.3 million. And I think with De La Feo being out for the rest of the season, I think he's going to be the touch point of their attack this
weekend. I'm feeling really hot and bothered about that suggestion. I want to finish this podcast so I can make that transfer. Wow. Okay. Some food for thought there, and then some, as you prepare for game week 29. Next up, we'll get a quick check on what transfers we are planning to make and who gets to wear the armband. All right, well, as I mentioned back at the start, keeping across team news ahead of the team deadline can be essential, as a lot of people who owned Jamie Vardy discovered last Friday evening. So make sure you do that. PremierLeague.com, a great place to go for up-to-date info on injury news and that kind of thing. Tom, you talked about bringing in Saka. Is that going to be your only move this week?
I'm thinking of doubling up on Arsenal players and bringing in Saka and Aubameyang. And they would take the places of Jack Grealish, ooh, Villa away at Leicester, yeah, and Jamie Vardy, who, as discussed previously, will now score a hat-trick.
Oh, yeah.
Almost definitely. And that's for that double game week, and with a particular eye on that home game against West Ham on Saturday.
Right. Duncan?
Well, Tom's slightly stolen my thunder there, because I am bringing in Saka, Aubameyang and Sarr, as previously discussed.
Are you taking an eight-point hit, or do you have one in the bank?
Got one in the bank. No. Yes, an eight-point hit. Yeah. I mean, damn. Now I'm below you, James. I feel like I can just...
panic station.
You've got to speculate to accumulate.
Exactly. So to do that, I'm getting rid of Traore because I think, A, injury doubt, and also I think, slightly past his peak for the season. Also going is Sander Berger, part of my ill-fated wild card, which hasn't really come off. And Jamie Vardy because, well...
it's a takeaway burger for you this week.
It's very much so, yeah.
And Jamie Vardy going out as well. All right, Sam?
Well, to make a hat-trick of Aubameyang-Saka transfers, I'm doing Aubameyang and Saka this
really?
Week. Yeah. So I took Firmino out for Aubameyang off the back of that FA Cup result the other night. I just feel like right now Firmino's not the right Liverpool asset to own. It's a home game next as well, and we all know what that situation is with Firmino and Anfield so far this season. So yeah, Firmino went to Aubameyang, and Saka will come in for a minus four. Only my second minus four of the season, so I've been really good at not impulse doing, but I feel like I need him for this week.
That feels pretty extraordinary, though, that all three of you want to make those two transfers. Aubameyang, his numbers speak for themselves, and I think the only reason we didn't have him in before was the fact that Arsenal were blanking. But Saka, is he now an absolute must-have?
Well, he's been good, but I think the decision to rearrange this Arsenal City game fairly short notice for the Premier League terms really has kind of cast the die.
Right.
Yeah, so he's going to come in. I don't know yet who for. I haven't decided yet. It'll either be for Cantwell because he blanks in 31. And as I've already said, I'm planning to just play through 31. Or it might be for Traore if I decide to do the switch from Traore to Moutinho in a couple, later on in the season, then I'll bring him in then. So I can see Traore going if the team news comes out and says Traore is not fit to play this weekend. So I'm keeping a close eye on Santos' press conference ahead of that game.
Very wise of you. And who gets to wear the armband, Tom?
Aubameyang.
Duncan.
Maybe triple captain Aubameyang, just because I've got a hunch, but that's just a posture thing. But although I'm still tempted, I've been very loyal to Alexander-Arnold, and I do feel that he could, he had a couple of really bad games. I think he could come good against Bournemouth. So I'm going to decide possibly on Saturday morning.
Right. See how you feel.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. And Sam?
It's Aubameyang for me too.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Well, the deadline is 11:30 Saturday morning UK time. Remember, in the meanwhile, if you're looking for more FPL content and advice, like the FPL show and FPL FYI, you can find all that and more at premierleague.com. Best of luck, everybody, with Game Week 29. We'll be back next week. For now, many, many thanks to Sam, Tom and Duncan for being with us. And we'll catch you next time.